بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: كل أمتي يدخلون الجنة إلا من أبى. قيل: ومن يأبى يا رسول الله؟ قال: من أطاعني دخل الجنة، من عصاني فقد أبى. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected mothers and sisters, we are going through a very difficult time in terms of the Ummah at large. Everybody is well aware of the challenges, of the difficulties, of the hardships, and not just difficulties and hardships and challenges, but the extreme situations that are being unleashed upon the Ummah. We know what is happening in Gaza. There are very severe situations in Sudan. There are problems in Syria. There are problems in many, many parts of the world. So we are familiar with this. People keep up with the news, people listen to all the details, have the full detail of many, many things that are happening. So now when we have all these details of what is going on, what is the condition of the Ummah at large, so what does it require of us? To understand this a little, let's take it on a little bit more smaller scale first. Allah Ta'ala save us, Allah Ta'ala protect us from all difficulties, from calamities, hardships. Allah Ta'ala keep us with afiyat. This is a dua we should be all the time making, especially this dua of afiyat in the times that we live in, should be given very, very much more greater importance and very much deeply we should be asking for this afiyat after every salah, in fact. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah wal-mu'afat al-da'ima fi al-deeni wal-dunya wal-akhira wal-fawza bil-jannati wal-najata min al-nar. This dua, if we can make this dua, if we know it very good, or in our own words, in our own language, ask Allah Ta'ala for afiyat. In the Hadith Sharif it has been mentioned that the greatest gift after iman is afiyat. Afiyat is very comprehensive, afiyat in deen. So now what can be greater than that? And together with that, afiyat in dunya. So if a person's deen and dunya has been safeguarded, he's been safeguarded from calamities and hardships in his deen and in his dunya, what more he wants? So this is the very important dua to make. So we know what is going on. Allah Ta'ala keep us with afiyat. Now supposing in somebody's extended family, there's some major challenge. Allah save us, Allah protect us all. But somebody has got a major problem. It might be some cousin, it might be some other relative in the extended family that is now in quite a very serious situation. Sometimes somebody is sitting in, Allah forbid, the ICU, somebody's got some other major. So the whole family becomes involved in that, in many ways, in different ways. Everybody becomes involved. At the least it will be, you'll make dua, because that will be at the top of the mind. My cousin, this is the position, this is the person is in the situation. My uncle, my whoever, close relative, let alone being under our own roof, Allah save us from that too. We're talking about a little bit more extended, a little bit more in the broader circle. but somebody is suffering some situation, then as long as there's some little bit of consciousness of family relationships, there's a little bit of consciousness of deen, then this will be a standard thing that people will start rallying around, people will do something or the other to help, and the very least is they will make dua. It's very, very obvious this will happen. And if that also doesn't happen, then maybe the person who just doesn't feel anything, maybe, Allahu alam, whether he's living still or not. So, in any case, this is a standard thing. We all go through this, we understand it. Allah save us all from all difficulties, hardships, calamities in our own selves, in our under our roofs, in our extended families, in the ummah. So now, just as in that extended family, we will react in this manner, we'll make dua, we'll try to go and do something, we'll try to help in some way or the other. The entire ummah is one family. The entire ummah is one family. Now, when something is happening on a more smaller, within the smaller circle, our extended, our own extended family, then number one, we'll be moved to do something. We'll make dua at least. And also, it'll affect us in many other ways. For example, if now somebody in the extended family suddenly got admitted to the ICU, or some other major situation has come about, then it will be difficult to just be ignoring that and carrying on with one's entertainment and one's life like nothing happened. You'll find many things changing. You'll find many things are being now done differently. That merrymaking that would have just normally happened will change now. So, why? Because now we're affected by what's going on. We are impacted by this. So the same thing now, the ummah at large is one family. The ummah is one family, and now when such atrocities are being committed against one part of the family, and at a scale that hasn't been heard of in the living memory, so does it behove of us to just carry on with life like nothing happened? At the most, we keeping up with the news, little bit more than that, then we're talking about it, and more than that, nothing. So one is that it must move us to daily make dua. Are we making dua yet? Daily, earnestly, repeatedly. If not, then this is a problem. And then it requires us to question ourselves, but why am I not even making dua? Am I so indifferent to the plight of the ummah? Are the children that are being slaughtered there not impacting on me enough to make 2 rakats nafil and make dua? Do I just take it as, well, it's happening, but what can I do about it, and nothing, and carry on? So that's obviously not the way that we should be conducting ourselves. Inshallah, that's not what is happening either. Inshallah, we are making dua earnestly, daily. And that dua is never in vain. But now before the dua, some further amal, some tilawat, some tasbihat, zikr, to enhance that dua, and then make dua daily, at least dedicate 10 minutes for this purpose. And for the suffering ummah throughout the world, whichever part of the world they might be, what is happening in Gaza is obviously at another level right now, and it's beyond comprehension and beyond discussion of how severe the matter is. But there are likewise problems in many other parts of the world. So on a general note, we include everybody in our du'as. Then together with that, we have discussed this before, but this is now an open and blatant war against Islam and the Muslims, regardless of how it will be expressed. There are many times things are said, but the reality is very different from what is said. So what will be said is it got nothing to do with the Islam and nothing to do with Muslims per se, but that's all words. The reality is something else. So in any case, we need to understand that this whole onslaught on deen and on the Muslims, so now what are we going to do about that? Now that's the question for us. What are we going to do about that? What are we going to do about it? We are going to change our lives for the better. That is what we're going to do. We're going to change our lives for the better and encourage others also to change their lives for the better. How do we change our lives for the better? Are there not things that have crept into our lives that have come from the Yahud and Nasara? Look into our dressing, for example. If we're still not sure, and if we didn't see it because it got changed before we really got growing, and our parents also lost the path in some way, so the dressing style already changed before we became conscious of things, then ask our parents or ask our grandparents, what was the dressing like of the average Muslimah? We're not talking about the very pious level, average Muslimah. General, what was the kind of dressing 40 years ago, 50 years ago, a little bit more, 60 years ago? What was the manner of dressing? General, average Muslimah. So it was a far cry from what is now. So why this changed? Where it came from? The tight-fitting garments and which expose so much, and the haya is compromised in such a way. Where it came from? Which part of the world all this influence came from? Who's behind the scenes where this influence came from? It came from anybody else but the Yahud and Nasara? So, are we not going to make a change in this? Are we not going to come back to that haya in our dressing, in our manner that was given to the ummah by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We can't get 100% to that. Are we not going to try to come closer to it, emulate it? So now that's making a change. Now this onslaught on deen can only work if we start drifting. And if we remain firm, the ummah remains firm, then this onslaught will fail. But if we get carried away in the styles of the Yahud and Nasara, then we have opened the floodgates. And Allah forbid, we will be answerable for what goes on in the next generation, because we then left that door open, or we opened the door and then it moved on. So we will also be party to it. We have our children growing up, our grandchildren growing up, or we are growing up now, then we need to take care of this immediately. Abandon the styles, the ways of the Yahud and Nasara. Their ways got nothing to do with our life. Look at ourselves in the mirror sometimes, and who do we resemble more? A Muslimah or a Yahudiya? It might sound a bit harsh, but in our own, for our own purposes, let us do that sometimes. And think about it. It's deen. We have to answer to Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. And while there might be a general or a certain manner in which we will dress when we're going out into, for whatever the purposes might be, but then under that abaya, etc., is it a Muslimah or is it somebody else? So a Muslimah is Muslimah from within and without, inner and externally, in every sense. The heart is also Muslimah. And the aspirations are also of a Muslimah. The wants of a Muslimah. To upkeep the manner of the ways of a Muslimah. Indoors and outdoors. Not any cover-up story only. The reality. Not just the cover of the book, but the book itself. The book itself also, mashallah. That too must be in conformance with the way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the way that he has highlighted, the way he has taught us. So what this brings us to emulate the Mubarak Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what we have to bring alive the Sunnah. And in so many easy things, there's no difficulty in it, but because that consciousness is missing, we deprive ourselves of fulfilling the Sunnah and earning such rewards. And the greatest thing in that is to get closer to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in this regard is this effort to bring the Sunnah alive. We should have some kitab, some short, concise book on the Mubarak Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's one very beautiful booklet by our Shaykh Hazrat Shakim Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi. Beautiful sunnats of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, that booklet, there are many others as well. Every day, learn one sunnat. It's sunnats that we know about, but it will just help us to become more conscious of it. And then discuss it with our families, bring it alive in our homes. And especially these aspects that we have drifted completely away towards the Yahud and Nasara. And if not already fully there, then very much into it. Very much closer to them. Very much we've drifted away from the Mubarak way that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us. In dressing. The dressing is not just confined to what a person wears. The dressing is how whatever a person wears, it impacts on the mind and heart. What a person wears impacts on the mind and heart. And unfortunately, this brand culture that has now become the standard, that everybody is going headlong into a brand culture, and when there is a no-name brand, it's not worth it. Then it doesn't make sense having it. Whereas so many of these brands, if you trace it, that these names which have become very famous and the brand that has now people have latched onto, there's so many of it, the people that it's the name of the person, that brand is actually the name of a person. The name, so many names, we don't want to start taking names now in a dini discussion, but there are so many names that are actually the name of a person. And that person, where the brand started off from, whether it was the Dior, whether it was some other Giorgio and whatever, and Versace, and now there's so many brands of this nature. The MK, some MK brand, and Allah knows best how even these things are pronounced, but there's so many of them. But if you go and trace it back, then that, like almost maybe 10, 12 of them, or more than that too, the name is of a person who was an openly LGBT lifestyle person. Openly. Meaning that person stood for that kind of lifestyle. That person promoted it. That person, that was his or her very distorted thinking. Now, if somebody latches onto that, you think that that name and that brand culture that has come from that direction is not going to impact. It's not going to leave some trace, some effect. It's obvious. All these things have an effect. We've mentioned this incident or this example many, many times, that if you want to see the effect of clothing on children, it has an effect. It definitely has an effect. Whether we understand it or not, it has an effect. But sometimes the effect shows itself very, very glaringly and sometimes very subtle. But it's there. So now if you want to see it in a more dramatic way, dress one child as a clown. He knows now what's a clown all about. And now dress him like a clown. And be sure about it. You're going to see him the whole day jumping around like a clown, behaving like a clown, and making a clown of himself. Even if he's not a clown, he'll become like a clown. Dress a child like a police, and you'll see him now behaving like as if he is one. And he'll be trying to chase around people and so on. Dress him as an... Now he is the imam and the khatib, he is the alim, he is the mufti. Put a nice kurta on him, put a turban, put something, and see how he'll behave. As long as he's conscious of what he's wearing, see his behavior. He might... If he's exposed to these things, he might pretend he's performing the salah, maybe. He'll pretend of, maybe he's giving the bayan. Or whatever other, meaning he will imitate and emulate somebody who he sees in that kind of garb. And it'll come from within him. So now we need to become very conscious about the clothing culture that is just getting from bad to worse. And Allah forbid, because these things don't, it's a slide. We have to understand and accept and realize It's a slide. We have slid down already. If we don't take it back up, our children will slide further down because it's a slide. It's going downwards. It's a decline. And then this too was mentioned on more than one occasion. One person went to some place, some factory, whatever, for some business matter. When he got there, so he was talking to the, sitting in the office of the owner or the, whoever he might have been, and some person is walking in and out of that office. So he noticed the person and he was feeling very uncomfortable. And he was wondering too that how can this person allow such a person to be, this employee of his to be dressed in this manner in such a terrible way. And she's walking in and out of his office too in that manner. And then after some time, when she came in again, so now he decided, the owner decided to even introduce her to this visitor, this business person who came. So you see, this is my daughter. Now that person was feeling so uncomfortable about how she was dressed. Now she's dressed like that in a terrible way in front of the father, and the father even don't have any shame. And then he even have the audacity to introduce his daughter, very proud of her, of how she is dressed. And nothing, he's not bothering him in any way. Did this happen overnight? That she is dressed in this terrible manner, and the father also can't be feeling anything about it, meaning any embarrassment, any shame. It happened overnight. Could have fallen and stooped to this level overnight? No, it happened over a couple of generations. Maybe two generations or three generations. There's some, the kuffar do all kinds of things. They've done some experiments and researches and whatever else. They found if you want to really change something, you work on it, you must give yourself a chance and time for three generations. By the third generation, it'll be all wiped out clean. There won't be any sign of it. If people latch on to what you're doing, you cannot expect it to happen overnight. You must take it step for step. But by the third generation, it'll be wiped out. Now, that is what has happened from our elders and so on, where we are currently. So if we go three generations back, many of us, then they had a very different lifestyle. And they dressed in a very different way. They conducted themselves very differently. The haya that they had, the value system that they had, the attachment to deen that they had, this was on a very different level. And where we are is gone somewhere far away. Now, if three generations from now go further down, Allah forbid, if we don't start turning the tide, not just stopping it where it is, but turning the tide back up, then next generation and the one after, must Allah Ta'ala protect us and save us, and we'll be also answerable for what kind of legacy we left for our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. So Allah Ta'ala protect us, Allah Ta'ala save us, Allah give us a tawfiq that we take cognizance of these things, we start making an effort, we talk about it among our circles, we keep raising awareness about it, that we have to make a change. We have to change this. We cannot allow it to continue the way it is. We have to reverse this tide. And make dua for that as well. Feel the hurt for this. That on the day of Qiyamah, how am I going to face Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This is what was going on in the Ummah. And what did I do to try and rectify it, to bring some betterment, to encourage somebody, to change it in my own life if I've also slipped and drifted in my own house? What did I do? We'll be answerable for this on the day of Qiyamah. These are the things we will be answerable for. Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'oolun an ra'iyatihi. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, every one of you is a shepherd and they will be questioned about their flock. This is part of our flock and part of what we'll be questioned about our flock. How they dressed. Not that this is the only question, everything else too. But this too will be questioned about how they dressed. What did we do about it? So Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we take this to heart and we become very conscious about it and we make an effort on our own selves, effort in our homes, effort in our families, and bring alive the haya, the simplicity, and all the beautiful qualities that deen has given us, and that Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam left as a legacy, and stay far away, get rid of the ways of the Yahud and Nasara and their dressing and their ways. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyu al-kareem wa ala alihi wa sahabi ajma'in. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayhi.